CliffCentral.com. Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the Fashion Lab show. My name is Liz Ogumbo-Regisford, your host and producer. And today's show, we are going to be laying back a bit with our designer exclusive that runs once a month with a very special guest in studio with us today. We have an exclusive on Soba. Soba is a design house launched by her designer, Seppo Mafokwane, who discovered she was incapable of accepting both the conformity and mediocrity. She'll talk about that she found surrounding her. Now, we are also joined on the show by Morik Stein, who will be engaging us throughout the show and later glamming up the show with her glam up, which is her dose of makeup and beauty tips. Welcome to the show, Morik.
Thank you so much, Liz.
And what are you wearing?
I need to find out what you're wearing.
No, let's start with you.
I'm just wearing a simple denim sort of pullover dress, very easygoing, and just a really cute sort of burnt orange ballet pump, and just keeping it simple today.
That's very nice. Now you can ask me.
And what are you wearing, Liz?
Well, I am wearing one of my simple pieces. It's one of those, as a designer, I'm sure a lot of designers know that there's those one pieces you design, then you kind of keep it hanging there, and you kind of don't know where you want to throw it on, because it kind of doesn't fit in any of the collections, but it kind of fits hanging there. So I'm wearing this beautiful stripe, but the stripes go across, which I find a lot of women are scared of because they feel like it's actually a fattening sort of yes. look. However, because I'm a slim slender, I can pull this off with my head up and my red heels. I'm wearing some nice, beautiful, pointy red stilettos. And very simple earrings. I'm also feeling very simple and easy today. The sun's shining in Johannesburg for those who are in winter, wherever you are. But it's a beautiful day, so I'm feeling nice and easy and comfortable. Now, we are also obviously going to be joined by our contributor, Edgy Benson, from his Echoes from New York, who will also be plugging in throughout the show. We're going to plug him in shortly. And obviously, just a quick reminder for you who are tuned in as well, I've got my favorite segment at the end of the show called Who Would You Want to Dress and Why? So I want you to feel free to share with us your whos and your whys. I call that the red glass of wine at the end of this show. Now, if you're tuning in for the first time and have some input around the businesses behind Fashion Week, fashion, especially in Africa, or you would love to join us on the show, please email us at info@fashionlabafrica.com. Keep your tweets coming at FashionLabAF. Share with us some of your thoughts as we engage deeper into this Soba brand who's sitting right here with us in studio. Now, without taking any more time, I want to allow me to introduce our special guest. Her design signature speaks of language of bold, ultra-feminine shapes with tailored shoulders and waists, which are contrasted with unexpected touches of softness and sparkle. This label is available in several boutiques in Gauteng. Former design graduate from the Tshwane University of Technology, she boldly celebrates all women with the tremendous ability to conquer anything. She's the head designer herself. In studio with us is Seppo Mafokwane. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Liz.
Did I just do like justice to that intro, or do you want to add on?
No, it was too much.
It was too much.
I was about to run away.
That is good. That is
I'm going to leave the room.
That is called the Fashion Lab hospitality. That's how we hold it down here.
That was amazing. Thank you.
But welcome to the show. Before we even move further, I want you to just share with our listeners what you're wearing.
I was so scared of that.
It's come. It's coming,
rubbish.
But it has arrived.
I'm wearing rubbish today. I'm just a thug. Fashion Week is over, guys. Can we not? I'm just wearing some blinged out skull biker chick thing, but
And what are you wearing below?
I'm so embarrassed.
Like, it's okay. We don't matter. You know what the good thing is on this show, my darling, is that whatever we wear, we'll definitely take a picture of it and tweet it and share with our listeners. But the truth is, it's who you are and how you're feeling today. So it doesn't matter if you're in a skirt today, that's how you woke up feeling, because truth is, it's an expression of how we feel.
You know, the last time you saw me, I was proper.
Girl, I will tell them.
Can you please not forget that? Don't dismiss me now.
Listen. That's the part that I will tell. I will tell them, and I will send them a picture
today.
from the other time.
Oh,
and no. what's the hat thing? Is that also the laid back?
Hat is, I'm figuring out what to do with my hair, and I don't want to look at it in the meantime. I think I think women can relate to that.
Okay.
Liz, I'm not like you, okay? You always on fleek. Like, you...
No, girl, stop. We do. Sometimes I have low days or different days.
Yeah.
On those different days, I'm also probably wearing something. People are like, okay, I don't know what she's doing. But anyway, welcome to the show. We are enjoying our conversation so far. And congratulations also on your latest collection that you showcased recently at SA Fashion Week, which to me was one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you.
Now, to go straight into the matters of this fashion conversation, especially around the business behind fashion, let's talk about this collection. Just unwrap it a bit, especially for those who did not make it to Fashion Week or haven't had a chance to actually look at your latest collection or even just kind of hear about your brand.
This particular collection, I think I stayed true to myself. I did what I'm known for, and I just turned it up a little. Very feminine shapes. You know I love my coats. I think one of the things that's exciting to me about winter is the functionality of it. I don't understand the fluffy stuff in winter. Women are cold. It's cold. You want to be warm and look warm
and fabulous.
Actually, I think in winter, women look the best. You know, just around that simple little thing. And I kind of did want to, you know, give that woman that functional wardrobe. So, yes, your definite tailored shapes. A little bit masculine, you know, I love I've got a bit of a tailoring background, so I like using it in ladies' wear too. But most importantly, it had a very strong military theme. And that was just like a tribute. I think you should know by now, my label is always about women. All types of women. And what I try to do with the label is actually take a walk through a woman's shoes. Different women and see their journeys. And one of the things I realize is most of us women pushing fleek, beautiful, pouting, you know how you how you do. But we're all fighting some kind of a battle.
Let's talk about this woman. Who is she? What does she do in life? Who's your target? Who are you talking to, especially through this collection?
This one I wasn't necessarily going to specify what type of woman. I wanted to more explore the journey. You know, the whole military thing is like, I wanted to call the collection, We Are at War. No matter how beautiful a woman looks when she's crossing the street and sexy, she's fighting something, domestic violence, things like that. You know, she's fighting to have a child.
Wow.
I
love the social sort of extension and how you put it out there, because I've realized, and not just you, and we even spoke to a lot of brands, especially through this SA Fashion Week and after all that hype, I realized, and I'm loving it, that we, as much as our creatives, that you still are so conscious about what's happening around
us. About the real thing.
And then you bring it, and there's sort of like a synergy and a connection where you cannot put that dress out without thinking and without acknowledging some of these things that are happening. Because this is our real life. This is where we are today.
Like, I hang around with women from all sorts of backgrounds. My customer is very well-traveled. She's an intellect. She's strong. She's a fighter. She's a single woman. Some of them are married with kids, but they're fierce. And I always want to bring that out. And you think about it, your typical single chick, what is she fighting for? We're fighting to get that man. You know, a lot of people that know me personally.
I didn't see that coming.
It's a war out there. You know, I always say, you know, even dating, oh my gosh, it's a battlefield.
You know what? I'm not gonna laugh so loud on that one because I'm already married.
Anyway,
but I hear you. I mean, there's, like you said, what I love about it is it's the truth about what's happening. The women are fighting for a position advancement in their careers. They're fighting to keep their family together. They're fighting so many beautiful things. But I want to move away from that a bit and just go back to the showcase. Now, obviously, the showcase is only a piece of the pie, and this pie is the pie we constantly try to balance. So, as much as it's a great platform for PR and visibility. What is your next step? There's got to be something beyond, meaning that after the PR, after the visibility, when you look at your pie, then you have that as one tick checked. And then you have to still look at other elements of balancing this business for it to actually make business sense all through the whole, you know, to finish the pie. So what is your next step? What are some of your goals that you look to achieve through the collection that we just... So
this particular collection.
Or generally the brand.
Generally,
because
the brand.
Your brand is your brand.
I know a lot of people are expecting me to say, oh, I want a flagship store. Of course we want a flagship store. But you know what? I'm more focused on just being accessible. I don't want to be this phantom of a designer where nobody knows where to get your clothes, and you know, PR can go wild on some people, but you don't even know where to buy their clothes. I've never touched these people's garment, and for me it's about reaching the masses, getting out there, making myself more accessible. I'm a creative, and yes, definitely I want a flagship store eventually at some point, but right now I think it's just about reaching out to more people, supplying more. You know, because I think I'm in love with the whole process of what I do. You know, being able to conceptualize something and just see it from a dream and then engineer it and see it come alive. I mean, that's what I love. And I know the whole flagship thing, the store thing is the ultimate. It's definitely the ultimate. That has to happen.
So did you get a good response right now with buyers?
With buyers. Yes. Immediately, yes. I met up with Spree. I think it was literally less than 12 hours after I showcased. I was still tired. But yeah, we booked that collection. They loved it. And they understand my signature and they appreciate it. They have the customer that knows my work and they love how my stuff fits. And that's what I think is important. So yes, we have booked that baby and I want to book more.
Now, I want to introduce another contributor on our show who is Edgy Benson with Echoes from New York. He runs a services, fashion services company based in New York. And he definitely contributes to our show because I also believe, Sorba, that the way to expand is to also be able to connect with the world. You can't sit today with what's happening as globalized as the world is today and say you're just working on your little business in the corner of second and fourth. That's just like, who are you talking to? So Edgy is a contributor who also comes in with a lot of insight. He's definitely a heavyweight in the industry from that side of the world. And Edgy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good.
What are you wearing before we jump into Sorba? don't even come with your tricks. I know it's 8:15 a.m. where you are right now. But
I would have to be extremely, extremely creative. Mm-hmm. See, I'm struggling with being creative about this.
Okay, can I share what you're wearing with our world today, with our Fab Stars?
Yeah.
Okay, today Edgy is wearing some shorts and some khaki shorts and a diesel t-shirt and some open beautiful leather sandals created by one of the brands that are really emerging from the continent. So anyway, welcome to the show again. I hope that's okay for today. As you've heard, we're talking to Sorba and we are on this fashion designer exclusive today to just kind of pick her mind, connect with her on a deeper level, because a lot of times we get so excited about brands, but if you really don't know the story behind what drives this brand, then you kind of really don't know the brand well. Whereas when we have this designer exclusive, we have a whole hour to sit here and unpack and really talk about her journey, what she's doing, where she's going and why. So did you get a chance to look at the show, the Sorba show?
Yeah, actually last week it was one of the lines that I mentioned as one that I loved. And for me, I think the thing I really liked about Sorba when I first saw it last week was it's very modern. I like it had a very transcontinental feel. I mean, you didn't, of course it had all these African hints, you know, but it still was thoroughly modern. And I like that. And I like the button play. She had all these metallic accents, you know, in terms of the shanks, the buttons. And I loved that a lot. And the zipper play was great too. And she had just the right amount of asymmetry in some of the works. And the pants were very skinny. And I liked the way they gathered along the length. So there was something truly modern about it, and I think it's a thoroughly well thought of line, and those are the things that I really liked about it, and they stood out. Yeah.
Nice.
Fantastic. Now, as we're talking to Sorba here still, Sorba, what are some of your brand values and ethos?
My brand values.
What are some of the things that this Sorba cares about and is conscious about?
I care about a woman's physique more than anything. I want to show off the best things about a woman, you know, and deflect from whatever it is that you don't like. I know how women are so super conscious. So fit.
fit and detail. I never sacrifice detail. I can go all day. But, you know, because of cost and whatever, and we're trying to make the thing affordable. Like he did mention that there is some hardware that I actually made, like the belt and everything. I love that. I'm over the top. I know I don't look it today, but I like a woman who kicks ass, like who just walks in and like, what is she wearing? Where did she get that? And I think my values are that. It's just keeping women looking beautiful. And clothing, I believe it should be something that helps. You know, what's the point of wearing something fabulous if you have to put on 10 pairs of Spanx and whatever? I want the clothes to create the silhouette that a woman most desires.
Fantastic. Now, do you care as you go through this process of production, what are some of the things? Do you care about using environmentally friendly sort of...
You know what? We try. It's such a nice and noble idea. I really like it. But I honestly believe in it. But I found that functionally, especially with the resources that we have, it's not always doable. Yeah, I mean, you think about it. We'd love to source African fabrics, but then I know that mostly it's all print, and most of anything that we use comes from somewhere else, which I'm not going to mention. But I do want to implement those kind of things. I think right now I've put a lot of me into doing internships, giving back. I'm part of the board of advisory for the Technical University of Tshwane. And that's the kind of stuff I love doing now, empowering students, making them come alive and making them realize that you have a dream and there is a way. There is a way out there that you can live it. And you might not be rich immediately, but you must follow it through. And that's what SOBA is about. So it's largely a concept of just embracing and empowering and helping grow other designers around me, young ones.
But obviously, so production-wise, you produce locally, right?
Yes,
so everything. That is still empowering, and that to me is still being sort of putting those practices of being a bit more careful and a bit more caring, a bit more eco-friendly, because at the end of the day, sustainable, let me use the right word.
Sustainable. You know what? I also think maybe I'm just a control freak. Maybe I'm just a bully. And I can't CMT. I can't let anybody take care of my stuff. You know, I'm clingy about what I do, and you can see it in what I do. There's no garment that I have ever made, and I know it sounds ridiculous.
That you have ever made or never made?
Ever, that we have ever made that I did not touch.
Okay.
Every single garment that you buy.
However, but what I'm saying is, again, back to sustainability when it comes to some of our values and the things that we also have to be very conscious about as we continue to grow, because you've got eyes watching you in the continent. You've got people that are looking up to you and saying, one day I want to be like SOBA, I want to run a business and be able to get to that level and even beyond. So I think that some of the things that we, again, this is responsibility for the whole fashion industry. Those who don't want now are for you. Those who want, let's keep going. But the truth is, just the ability to be able to have the production and manufacturing here in South Africa, having that you're attached into it, but also not realizing it, whether you know it subconsciously or consciously, you're actually empowering the community in a big way, because you are everything, I'm sure everyone employed is local.
Yes.
And that means you're taking care of them and their families.
Yes, I don't even look at them as individuals. They might they families. I fight for them. Every time I'm sitting out there designing a collection, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have to feed these people's families. I'm not going to mess about with their time. So, yeah, that is a big thing. And I feel very privileged to have my own production plant, as small as it is, because you see it in people's eyes, especially when I have interns there. Like, they can't believe it.
How many staff do you employ, averagely?
At the moment, it's only 5.
That's a lot, still. And your job, look, and your work is getting done.
I've been bigger. And I found that, oh my goodness, now I'm not designing anymore. I'm HR.
HR, head of department, marketing. And literally, that's a whole job. Just
that's a whole job altogether.
Managing that.
When am I going to get a chance to design if I have to worry about sick leave and somebody who's not here and somebody who wants to take leave or whatever, you know? And I found that being an employer for me was secondary to being a designer. I think the employment factor, me being an employer was something I only like clicked into later, like, oh my gosh, okay, because I have this dream, I have to really run things. I have to do it because I can't let anybody else, you know, well, not that I can't, but letting anybody else do it, they're not going to do it right. The only way to do it right is to do it myself.
But do you think, let me put you on hold on that one there. I'm going to bang you just a little bit. It's just a little pinch. You know how we are entrepreneurs as well. So this is business at the end of the day. And the business decisions are normally the most painful because there's a time where, you know, out of looking at things and being able to reassess your business, maybe at the end of the year or at the beginning of the year, I'm sure most of you do that.
Yes.
And see what is it that worked? What is it? What did I try? What did I not try? What is something I could actually try this year that might be able to bring that change that, you know, because obviously doing things differently then can bring different results. And we are constantly on a high. I can feel from your energy and your passion. Every one of us, Morag, Edgy, we all do things with that passion of making sure that you're doing it, yes, passionately, but at the same time, it has to make business sense. So if someone challenged you and said, next year, Soba, something happens, you get a big breakthrough, and some things have to change. And now you've got three bases. You've got Accra, you've got Tokyo, and then you've got here. How are you going to also accept? Are you willing to also say that as much as this is what's happening now, you're willing to, through the journey, be able to readjust and tweak and let yourself be a bit more flexible as you grow? Because obviously that's going to require flexibility and that's going to require you to be a bit more less personal now. I mean, it doesn't mean you're not
personal.
It's still personal, but it's like, okay, we are bringing in a CEO.
You know what,
we are bringing in who we are bringing
in. It's so funny you're saying that. That is actually the next thing I'm going to do. I've decided before the end of the year, I need more help.
So you accept.
I accept. And, I want more help. I want more interns all the time. And
I admire what you're saying, that you even had to downgrade your production facility. That's a hard decision, but it's back to business
hard.
And saying, if I continue like this, is it going to make business sense? Edgy, we are talking about this, and I'm sure that you're also listening. Do you have any two cents? What's your two cents on this?
No, I would just say, it's as a designer, our first inclination is always to hold on to the design, take very good care of it, because it's like our baby. So it means that you have your hands on everything.
Yeah.
But as you grow now, you've got to let the line be out there. And to be out there, it means there's got to be enough of it for people to sample. And if you're going to have enough of it, you've got to have volume.
So
it's just, instead of focusing on touching everything, you can focus on teaching people to touch everything, you know?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. It's important. Because it allows you to grow beyond just touch. Because if you can't touch everything, there's just not enough of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
But it's important, though. It's important to touch it, to touch everything. But we should also be able to touch everything in community, meaning you can have train some people enough that if they say they've touched it, you're satisfied that they've touched it. Because for us as a manufacturer, we have to have in-house quality control people, and you've got to trust them, because we are shipping direct to the customer's store. They're never going to see it before we ship it. So you have to understand that your manufacturer actually understands what your expectations are, and there, if you plant that in them, you'll get it for sure. Yeah.
I like that idea. You know what? I think I've burnt my fingers a few times. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to have to do this myself for now.
Have you always been doing this in Johannesburg, or did you have a different... Have you always been everything, production?
Yes.
You've been doing this in Johannesburg. How many years are we now?
10 years. This is our 10th year.
Wow, congratulations on
Thank
that.
You.
That's very good. That's
congratulations on that. Now, another thing I want to touch on as well is, we've seen big brands, you know, and small, big brands partner with small brands or concepts or artists or models or celebrities or technology just to expand their reach and put a stamp on their new sort of type of products to expand their presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, at the end of the day, all we're trying to do is grow.
True.
Have you thought about collaborations? Have you considered it? Is it something that you would?
Okay. Yes. I love the whole idea. I've spoken to so many designers, but you're not as creative. We can talk all day. Put a glass of champagne. We'll promise each other everything. And it's just about getting it off the ground. I have certain people that I definitely want to work with. I've even met crafters, but it's just about getting it together. You know, I've tried a couple of projects, you know, but I've learned that as a brand, when you start growing, you need to be very prudent about such things. You know, as you know, in Fashion Week, if I'm going to do a collection and I want to collaborate with somebody, it needs to be something that we start right from the onset. It can't just be an add-on.
It can't just be on the runway.
It can't be an add-on at the end. And I think a lot of artists, they battle with that because then it's like, oh, you want to take my time? And I'm, you know, yes, I'll credit you, but let's do it properly. Don't bring me a finished thing. Let's do something that is part of this collection so that even a person who sees it and says, oh my gosh, I know that one. I know that item. It's from this what collection. You know, it must be that. It must be more
That's
organic.
Strong. And also, I think it has to be very synergized. You know how sometimes you've seen collaborations and you're like, who's, what,
he's like,
what, which, where is her? Where, I don't see her soul there. But can we also talk frankly as African children of this continent? Do we also have a problem just with collaborating? Or just because do we have a problem? Are Africans a bit more like, this is my own one and it's my fire. Don't come and take my own.
I've seen that. And it's so sad. It's the saddest thing ever because, look, I think out of most designers that I've met, I'm probably the one who's most free with information. You know, I like sharing. And I get excited when I meet creatives because they spark up something else inside of you. You know, and I think we don't do enough of that. We're so selfish. I don't know what's supposed to happen because the moment you start approaching somebody and you say, let's do something, they think, oh, you want to use me. Oh, you just want to write me. Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm a platform too.
And for me to
recognize you, that should be something to you. Not because I'm bigger than you, but...
Because we can complement
each
other.
Yes, we can complement each other. But I've seen that a lot of artists or people that call themselves artists, they're just bad at it. I don't know. Maybe it's just bad work ethic.
But is it like maybe the continent? Morag, what are your thoughts? Obviously, looking at it from as much as you're in the beauty, more in the beauty space, you obviously see these things. You just did makeup for Fashion Week. What do you think? Because when we've spoken about collaborations in the past in this show, we have still, I think my top three on that day were still international collaborations. And so I was like, where are the real collaborations on the continent? What are your thoughts on that?
You know, for me, Liz, I think... Let's talk about my industry. So, for instance, working with photographers, other hairstylists, other makeup artists, exactly the same thing. People have a problem with collaboration. And I don't know if it's selfishness or if it's jealousy or... But at the end of the day, like, you need to put muesli with your milk. You know what I'm saying?
And not with wine.
You can't just add more seeds to the muesli. You know what I'm saying? So... You know, you need to add baking powder to the cake. And unfortunately, I don't know what it is with people that they don't realize this. You know, for me personally, I've been lucky enough to meet amazing people that I have collaborated with, and we still collaborate, and it's been amazing. And, you know, we've become friends through that, and they've become really special people in my life. But there's other times where I've tried a collaboration.
Yes.
Oh, God, and I just ended up doing the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, collaborating with yourself.
Yeah, you actually want to just, you know
butt-kissing all the way. And you're like, you know what? Actually, I'm somebody's child, too.
Actually,
what are your thoughts on this? And like I said, as continental children here, and then like maybe some things that we might need to change to be able to move ahead, especially by focusing on collaborations, because that's a very strong element of pushing ourselves further than we ever would have on our own. I mean, the power of two is bigger than the power of one, no?
I think it's just like, I think like what Soba said earlier is, it's very, it kind of leads up to that when she said she has to touch every piece. I think we have this possessiveness about what we do or towards our designs that allows us to, or it makes it more comfortable for us to work alone than with a lot of people because we can't accept, you know, maybe we're not very open to align design in community. We're more like, we just want to hold on to it. And that then transcends to how we relate to other designers. And then it inhibits our desire to collaborate, you know? So that's how I feel. But design is almost like a free market thing. You've got to let it go. and collaborations are so
that's
good.
The painful part, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Collaborations are just so essential to growth.
Yes.
You know, to like also they melt the community together, the design community together. And you know, like we always talk in Africa about designers, but design is this ecosystem that, so it's like us, a designer may not collaborate with a fashion designer, but they can collaborate with a photographer.
Or
they can
technology.
Collaborate with a,
yes.
You know, in a technology company to create their own special mm-hmm. fabrics, or with a modeling agency to showcase stuff. So we have these parallels that we can all bring together and enforce this collaboration. It doesn't have to be designer to designer. It could be cross disciplines within the industry.
Which I feel like actually that's when it works best for me. Within design field, forget it. I don't know. I don't hate anybody, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah. You know, it's the same with me. So I had a lady the other day approaching me to be to shadow my work and to assist me, and you know, I just thought, oh my God, like I actually can't. And I thought, you know what? And something just tapped me on the shoulder and said, just do it. You know, just try it out. You know, and in the 10 years that I've been doing this, I've never had an assistant. I've never had to ask anyone for help. I've hustled through and I've done it. And I think, so, but that's where the possessiveness comes in, because you know, you've had sleepless nights, you've worked, and you take on an assistant and they're with you for a month and then they want to go design a dress for Beyonce.
And
I'm just like, what hole did you come from? You know, it takes work. And I think that in society today, because things are so readily available to when we started out and when we were hustling, it's so much easier for people. And I think that's where we become possessive and protective over our work. And also, I feel that we had to go through a lot more to get where we are compared to today, you know.
I think my biggest fear is just being disappointed. I'd rather be just disappointing my damn self.
But you know, another thing for me to add on as well with my two cents is my first collaboration ever for the last 10 years that I've been in the industry hustling as well, and hustling on my own, because I'm also the queen of move away, I'm here. And I'm coming with my story, and it's mine, and just move away. And the first collaboration ever is what we've just done with Edgy on my denim line. But what I've also realized is I'm surrounded by, first of all, I thank God that I'm surrounded by people who are really enabling. I've got a new school of people in my space, which is very refreshing. And they're people who you can talk business with, and you can get sort of business conversations going that will help enlighten you and also help lighten up your... We have to lighten up our energy sometimes, and it takes a lot. And that's why I'm saying it's also kind of like a step of maturity. It's like graduating to another level. And we can't force the collaboration. It has to be at a point where you, Soba or Morago, anyone has sat down and said, I'm ready for
We're
it.
Ready.
I'm taking it. Yes. I'm doing it. And then you do it. And I think that once you do it and once you see beautiful results coming, then you can really say you're actually moving to the next level.
And I also think working with people and being honest with one another, it's, you know, honesty, I don't know why people can't just be honest. It's scary.
But that one we can change.
You need people.
You know what I mean? You need people that you can collaborate with who will say, listen, it's not going to work. Let's end this. Instead of them just fizzling out and then you end up doing everything yourself.
Yeah, those collaborations, the ones where you're kind of in it, but you're collaborating with your own self. Any other last tips before we move to the glam up with Morag on this collaboration, or any advice you would give to African fashion brands and designers who are also holding their stuff so tight that sometimes we're just not looking at the next stage and we're not going to get there until we... just kind of let go a bit.
Yeah, I think that's just the word, let go. seriously, let's collaborate. And you know, the one thing that collaborations do here for designers, like in the States, is if you collaborate and you have a band of designers that put something together, you can easily go to like a store like H&M and say, look, we have a band of designers. And you alone may not have the critical mass they need, but when you have a number of people and they look at them and check everyone and it looks good, they'll think about it. They may say no, but it's something they'll think about. So collaboration always gives us weight, but it also still allows us to be individuals within it. So you don't lose your individuality, actually. And it enhances it, you know.
Soba, where are you stocking currently? Where can our listeners get some of your pieces to experience this brand?
Online boutiques, which is spree.co.za and Zando. And I'm getting into the space. I'm so excited.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. The space, we're going to be at Mall of Africa and Rosebank. And we're also stocking a little bit in Durban. We've got, and Botswana too. Botswana, there's an independent retailer who's out there who's stocking us, doing a really good job. Where else? Sure.
But you're open to push your presence into the continent and beyond.
Yes. And that primarily, that's what's more important to me than owning my own store.
And what can we expect? What else is in the works for Sobo? Where are you envisioning the brand in a year and 2 years? Where are we going?
Oh, those questions. You know that vision changes every day.
But today,
I don't know what today's version is.
I know, but today's version will take it. What happens next month can be on next month. It's just nice to kind of also get a feel of where the brand's going to. I think also the reason we have these conversations is to also kind of inspire people who are kind of sitting or kind of feeling like, my gosh, will I ever get there, or how do you go? And obviously, it's a step by step. You cannot wake up in the morning and have everything.
Yes,
when it comes to business. So it's a step
product
by step.
Product development for me.
Okay.
Product development. I want to go into more than just clothes, like you said. That a lot of international. I mean, the House of Kenzo. They have grapefruit. Imagine fruit by Kenzo. I really
want to go there.
I'm gonna go there. Yeah. I want to push it there. I definitely want to work, and like you said, I think it all starts with that whole collaboration thing. But you know what, if I have to do it on my own, fine. But definitely I want to grow a product line, accessories, bags, things like that.
And where do you see the future for African fashion?
It's big, you know. I think I wish Africans knew what we have here. This is not Paris. True. We don't have to fight against congregations. We don't have a Christian Dior. We don't have those people. We don't have all that red tape. We don't have these big giants that we have to fight through. We can become the giants. That's what I want to be. I want to be like Versace. I want the name, the brand, to live beyond me. And I think that's why I didn't even name it after myself.
What is Soba? What's the Soba saying around?
So you know,
I've been trying to think.
I've been discussing it a lot lately. People want to know. But for me, soberness, sobriety was just for me the only way I can describe a certain feeling that I got when I decided to let go of all the things that were mediocre. You know, all this designers just chasing money, making clothes that you never want to see again just because you want to get paid. No, I stopped all of that. I let go of all of that. And I've decided, you know what, I'm only going to make clothes that I like. If you don't like it, fine. There's Fashini, there's it. It's go everywhere.
If you don't like it, come to me. I might
And for me, it was a very sobering thing because I felt like I'd been, you know, addicted to this hustling, this chasing, this... and eventually, I decided to stop. I felt sober. I felt like, you know what? I'm tired of being drugged by people's money.
You know what's so funny is, I was like, she's probably going to be like, yeah, the sober of the... it's such a simple... it is literally what
very
it is.
Simple.
There's nothing... there's no magic behind it.
It was just transcendence where I rose above it. And I thought, no more.
Sober,
no more. I'd rather go broke than do what you want me to do.
Wow. There's heavy sentiments going on here. This is the Fashion Lab. We hold it down every Thursday, 2 to 3 p.m., and we would love to hear from you. We're on Fashion Lab AF on Twitter. We are also on www.fashionlabafrica.com. I just want to roll over to Morag Stein, who's our internationally accredited beauty consultant and makeup artist, coming to us live and direct with her glam up. Welcome
Thank
again.
Thank you so much, Liz. Thank you. I'm just going to go straight into my new discovery of the month, actually. And... incorporated into lipstick color of the week. It's called Turkish Lippies, and it's the old chapstick shape of a lip ice or a lip balm. Completely natural. It's got beeswax in it, some olive oil extract and natural seed extract. And I tell you, it's been my savior. I'm still suffering from the dry lip syndrome, believe it or not. And what I've done is I've sort of put a base coat of that on my lips. And then I've used a Smashbox lip pencil called Sienna, and I've just topped it up with a lipstick color from Smashbox. It's from their new range, and it's called Keeping It Matte. Even though the name says Keeping It Matte, it's not necessarily a matte texture, and it's just such a beautiful combination. So yeah, that's the lipstick color of the week. And then as I've been tweeting through the morning and that, I've been getting some crazy comments about the topic today, but you know what, you can't stop time, but you can turn back the clock to achieve more youthful looking hands, hair, skin, etc. You can look more fit, you can look more thin, etc. And you don't really need to submit yourself to plastic surgery, even though I am for it if you need it, you know, or expensive salon treatments, or stock a medicine cabinet full of lotions and potions. All you need to examine your daily sort of habits, regime, and just make simple anti-aging tweaks to your routine. For me, as some might not know, I'm in my fasting month of potassi, which basically, to the layman's term, means that I don't eat any animal products for a month. So no animal products, you know, on my skin or anything and going into my body. And then I'm also reading this little book called The Higher Taste, which has revealed an exciting sort of world of gourmet cooking for me, because, you know, vegan cooking is, it's not my forte, but anyway. And it's also just sort of opened a whole ethical and spiritual consideration for me. But of course, I've taken it a step further, as I always do. And I've skipped heat styling on my hair for a month. So today is literally the first day that I've just put a little bit of curl in with, you know, with my GHD tongue. But you literally turn back the clock with, you know, with sort of leaving out the heat styling, even washing regularly. So instead of washing every second day, I've just amped it for a dry shampoo, say every second day, and then I'm washing every fourth day. And of course, slathering on the SPF, which is your most effective tool in the anti-aging arsenal, I like to say, and apply more and more and more. Come hell or high water, rain or sunshine, use your SPF. And, you know, I find that most of my clients even, that apply so little that it's actually not doing anything. You need to apply almost a shot glass full of SPF on your face and your decollete.
Our mouths literally flew open.
Really? And you know, in Africa, because we're in the middle sort of the continent, of the world, of the universe, it is hotter here. Climate change is real. And you need to be using up to an SPF 50. SPF 25 is for child's play in Africa. I tell you, it does nothing. And also using lotion on your hands. The skin on the back of our hands is very thin, which makes us prone to accelerated aging compared to the rest of your body. And when dry air saps moisture from your skin, your hands look even older than what they should. And let me tell you, being in Johannesburg, it's no joke. It's dry up here. There's a lot of pollution in the air. So using a lotion with an SPF can actually help that. And sort of applying it, you know, even up to six times a day.
Give us a minute there to just make a comment. I was going to say, I'm looking at my hands and I'm like, oops. And then I'm thinking about the cap of SPF. I'm like, oops. And then I'm thinking about 25 is for kids. I'm like, ooh. I'm about to
25. I use SPF 50.
Yeah, like these things. You know, and what gets me is it's only fair people that are using SPFs. SPF needs to be used by everyone, whether you're a male, female, child, anything. You need to use it. Like, this stuff is real, you know. And also, painting your nails can actually make you look younger, believe it or not. The part of your body that, I mean, it's revealed all the time, isn't really your face. It's actually your hands. We talk with our hands. We use our hands. And it can really fool someone to looking younger than what you are. So wear a nail polish along with wearing jewelry on your hand. Polish offers a welcome distraction from imperfection. So I think we're all in studio. We all have our little nails painted.
Yeah. Wait, let me pick one.
And also, you know, sodium for me, you know, with my partner in life being very sort of health conscious with salt and sodium intakes, I've sort of adapted this through the years. And eating salty foods can really make you retain water, resulting in a puffy look, especially below your eyes area. So, you know, you might not even look tired, or you might have enough sleep, but you're just eating everything salty. So you're just looking so puffed out. And also, this banishes the bloat for hidden sources of sodium in your diet. So salt lurks in everything. It's bread, cereals, condiments, sauces.
Yes.
Everything. Even sweet baked goods are cooked with
salt. I was about to say that.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised how much sodium there is out there. But how do you detect it?
And
your
sodium
grocery
is the devil. I promise you. It is toxic, toxic, toxic. And then getting back to my little vegan journey, foods you know, vegan foods are known to help you keeping younger, wholesome, etc., and also reverse heart disease, diabetes, cancers, and other serious illnesses. Not only do plant-based foods help you live longer, they also help you look younger, believe it or not. And I've researched this, and it really is, you know. Nutrients found in certain foods and vegetables are known to promote clear, glowing skin. I mean, that we know. And over time, studies have shown that it can actually reprogram your DNA. So the aging that has happened till the age of 50, you know, if you're starting to live healthier, that, et cetera, by the age of, say, 60, you'll actually look 40. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think I'll try that at 50. And you, honey, when are you trying that? Mine, definitely,
you know,
50.
You know what? I've been trying, and I keep falling off the wagon, getting back on.
I think, you know, especially being an African as well, from literally when we come out the womb, like meat is shoved down our throat. We're such a meat-eating nation that it is difficult for us. It really is.
It is.
You know, and just some inspiring people are like Bernadette Bannon, Christy Binkley, Annette Larkins, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Joe Kirk. And also Dr. Ellsworth Wareham. I don't know if you've heard this name before, ladies, but he's actually a cardiologist who at the age of 50 adopted a plant-based diet. And this, you know, he did a lot of studies in China and all over the world. And if that's not worthy enough, he actually, you know, he started practicing as a cardiologist at the age of 100.
What?
Which is his age today. And if you want to have your mind blown even more, he still does all of his own landscaping, and that means that he plants his own vegetables at the age of 100. And also, just remember, you know, surgery isn't always an option. Who wants scars anyway, right? And if you can prevent it, then it's really worthwhile. And that's all from me for today. You can catch me on all social media platforms at Morag Stein, and that's MoragSteyn. Thank you.
Thank you, Morag, for that dose. The one thing I know for sure is I am still going to be eating some things, but I will try the 50 years old turnover. Edgy, are you here with us? What are you going to do? When are you going to start? Because you are quite conscious. Edgy's very conscious, by the way.
That's good.
Everything that goes, no, I promise you,
he's so late.
He was forcing me to eat all of these things that I'm like, please bring the other food, please. I need food. I need to chop now. I need to chop the real food. But you know, thank you very much for the contribution, Morag. Edgy, it's always nice to also have you contribute on the show. We are sitting here obviously with Seppo. Seppo, thank you so much for also coming on and just really taking it easy with us. How can our listeners connect with you, either your website or your social media handles?
Social media on Facebook and on Instagram, it's Sober Design House, and I'm Miss Sober on Twitter, MISSOBER, and our website is www.soberdesignhouse.co.za.
Thank you very much. It's really good. Now, before we move and finalize, Edgy, I'm coming to you just now live and direct from the Johannesburg studio here. But we are back to who would you want to dress and why before we wrap up, because that is not going away. It wasn't going away. And today we are going to start with Morag.
Okay, so today I want to dress Annette Larkins, who I spoke about in my segment. This woman is 86 years old, and she doesn't look a day over 30. So I would want to dress her purely because she's just freaking amazing.
Very nice. Miss Soba, who would you want to dress? And why?
We have an actress. I want to dress so many people.
But
I'll
we just
one.
Want one. And why?
I want to dress my mom. She's such a beautiful person. You know, I've never really made her anything.
Auntie,
I'm serious.
Don't let me put you in my bag.
But I want to dress my mother.
It's very nice.
Yeah, I want a wardrobe for her.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Why?
She's the most inspiring. She's the wisest woman I've ever known. The most hardest working. She raised me as a single child. Me and my sister. She did a sterling job. She's still doing better than me. I don't know how. Like, she's still bailing me out. I just love her. She's just so thoughtful and so wise. And she, for me, she's the epitome of what women should be, even in the most adverse circumstances.
Wow.
She's a champion.
Wow. Edgy, who would you want to dress and why besides me, Miss Soba or Morag?
I would love to challenge Soba to make me one of these pants that she has.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love those pants.
So you want to be dressed, you want to be dressed by Miss Soba, but then you'll also now tell us who you want to dress. But finish the Miss Soba dressing you. Come.
No, that means I want to dress me in one of these pants Miss Soba made. Yeah. They're so slim. It'll be nice to see them in men now.
I know. Yeah. You know what? I used to do menswear. I specialized in it at some stage. So I think some of the references you'll see, there's a little bit of that boyish thing. And yeah, I can see a guy rocking it. I just need to see a picture if you've got a rocking body.
Ooh. I can tell you he does. We'll send you the picture. But I want to dress today Nico Paul, who's a Sudanese model I met when we were in New York Fashion Week just now. She's of the Nuer ethnicity. She was born in what is now called Southern Sudan. She escaped with her family to Ethiopia, where she grew up as a refugee. Wow. In 1998, she moved to the U.S., has been modeling for about 10 years. She looks like what God designed a woman to be. I mean, she's a tall glass of Sudanese chocolate that I would like to dress. She's doing a lot of humanitarian work as well right now. Mm-hmm. And what I love about women, and about especially women of the continent, is that we are so fresh already that as we continue to grow and to blossom, it's always nice when you get in touch with everything else that's going on and you're able to touch lives by what you do other than just striding down the runway, you know? Enough of the legs, though. But anyway, guys, this is Fashion Lab. We hold it down here, like I said, every Thursday. We are now 2 to 3 p.m. Central African time. My lovely contributors are looking very nice here. Morag's looking great. Edge is looking great. Miss Soba, don't worry. We'll send you his picture.
I'm
he has a beautiful
girl.
Body.
I am
and,
a thug.
And Edge, thank you for joining us as well. We love your contribution and we love to also just kind of connect especially with people from other parts of the world who can then look at fashion in a more sort of holistic or just a different approach when it comes to our values, our drive, and where we are today. So we thank you for your time too. Miss Soba, it's been lovely having you in the studio. For our listeners who are tuned in, keep listening, keep finding us and having conversations with us. We'd love to hear from you. We are on www.fashionlabafrica.com. Peace and love until next week.
Fashion Lab on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.